Hallelujah. A lot of people are on vacation or out, but you know what? I was excited about today and about just the Lord had spoke to me about just a message tonight. This morning I was just kind of woke up and had thought, you know what? I'm going to just start writing some healing scriptures down. So I just put a few down while I was at it. I was like, you know what, I'll just put a few down. So I kind of started Deuteronomy and went hog wild and went through 3 John 2, just various stuff, probably 100 scriptures here that I was just like, why? Because, you know, we all know hunting season's around the corner for some of us, you know, that like to hunt. And the world system is you know, has declared it officially flu season. Well, we can fight against that, right? And you know, and we can declare victory over the flu and any other thing that comes from the pit of hell, right? Any other sickness, any other disease, depression, anything that it is in our life, we can have victory over. And let's look at Deuteronomy 7:15 while you're going there. Deuteronomy 17. What I want to do tonight is talk about where sickness and disease originated from, where it came from. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 7:15. Deuteronomy 7:15. I'm going to read it in the King James and the New Living Translation. But we want to, because here's the thing. If you have a misunderstanding of God's character, which most of the church does and most of the world does, they think that God is mad at them all the time and he's putting sickness and disease on people. But we're going to look at scripturally where sickness and disease originated from, right? And we're also going to find out it doesn't belong to you. And there's no condemnation if you, I mean, I've had symptoms the last few days and I'm just like, and I was meditating on some scriptures the other night and it was amazing because as I was meditating on scriptures, I sensed the glory fall on me and begin to, you know, heal me. And it's because of the word. The word. It's nothing. I'm nothing special. It's just that God is so great. And his word really does work, guys. It really does. And it really will set us free and it really will heal us. And so all I've been doing is listening to healing scriptures, meditating on the word. This morning, got up and wrote probably 100 scriptures down, just meditating on it. It belongs to us, and do not let the devil rob you of it. Right. Amen. And for myself, I know that I'm tired of, you know, and we've all done it, okay? I don't care if you're from Brother Hagin to whoever, me, you, it doesn't matter, anybody in this room. We've all had symptoms come upon us, and there's no condemnation for that, right? And so Jesus was tempted in all ways like we were, right? So he experienced everything we did. But let's just jump into this Deuteronomy 7:15, and it says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Okay, well, that kind of eliminates a lot of the denominational church that says that God is putting sickness on people, right? Because my Bible says he's taking it away from us. And will put none of these, of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. See, diseases are really for God-haters and people who hate. The New Living Translation says, and the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt. But he will inflict them on all your enemies. Why? Because they don't have a covenant with God. Right? It doesn't mean God wants them. God wants the worldly people to be. But here's the whole thing. When people sin and disobey God, they are out of the covering. You and I that are born again, we are Christians. This belongs to us. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, just turn a few pages over. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 27. Now, this chapter is all about the The first part of the chapter is about the blessings of God. You serve God, all these good things are going to come upon you, okay? When we get to about, you know, we'll dive into it. But most of this chapter is about the junk and the demonic garbage that could come on you if you don't obey God, right? If you're not living, if you're not in this covenant with God. Most of it is really bad, and we don't want to prolong that. But verse 27 says, "The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scurvy." Okay, I thought scurvy was just something you called another kid on the playground, right, when you're in elementary school. You're scurvy. No, this really is something, okay? "Scurvy and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you." Now, if you go on and read the rest of that, which we're not going to go into that, and I'm not going to go into that because a little ears here, but if you read the rest of that, that's pretty much sums up the world, right? Why does this have to do with healing? It has everything to do with healing because many people don't understand the covenant that we're in. Sickness and disease is really for the world and those who disobey God. They're not for us. Because we see John 10:10, the New Living Translation, and it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life," right? Who's got the King James? Mr. Gary, do you have the King James on that? Or who's got the King James? Anybody? John 10:10. Kill and destroy. Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to read out it one more place here. And this scripture is just going to make you want to run and shout. You ready? You're going to get excited for this one. 1 Samuel 5, 6, and 7, okay? Now, this is a scenario of the Philistines. They took the Ark of the Covenant, right? So they stole the Ark of the Covenant. Then they set it next to their god Dagon. Remember this one? Okay? First Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them at Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with hemorrhoids." Oh, that's pleasant, is it? "Even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, 'The ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God.'" What happened was, if you read that, and you can take some time to read it on your own, but they brought the Ark of the Covenant and they set it in the presence of the false god Dagon. They came in the next day and Dagon was face down. Then they set him back up. They came in the next day and Dagon was decapitated and his hands were held. God doesn't mess around, right? You play around with God, the world system, right? So what I'm saying is people who disobey God and play around with God and they are not honorable to him, this is the kind of junk that they bring upon themselves. But it doesn't belong to us, right? No. Psalms 103:1. So we can kind of, and I have other scriptures here. See, I got a whole stack of them right here that I'm meditating on. I kind of overstuffed the turkey. We're not going to go through all 100 scriptures. But what I am saying is this, there's plenty of proof in the Word that, and we also see that sin brings death, right? Sin is the precursor to death. And what is death? Death is basically the decay of our physical body, right? I remember listening to Sid Roth and this lady talking about the spirit of death tried to come upon her, and she was a believer, and she says within like a week, she started aging, just like it was terrible. Like it showed pictures of her, you know, that she just looked like she was 10 years older, and the devil was trying to, sickness and disease is the precursor to death, right? But we see in the Bible, we'll see here in a minute, that he's going to satisfy us with long life. We're promised that in the word. Amen. And so Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," and here we go, "forget not all of his benefits." Verse 3, here we go. "Who forgives all our iniquities." What's iniquity? Sin, disobedience, right? "Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Man, I'll tell you, if that doesn't just do something to you. "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Can I just say something here really quick? And I'm just going to cut to the chase as we're doing this. Because people aren't here, they really need to listen to this. I'm telling them right now. The things you're going to see throughout the word and the patterns that I see in relationship to healing are, number one, compassion and God's mercy. Those two ingredients are always in conjunction with healing. Why? Because he's giving us something that we need. He has compassion on us. And again, I've said this before, you look at the places where the supernatural followed Jesus, and you'll see, if you do a word study of in the New Testament, where Jesus is, where compassion it was an operation in Christ's life, the supernatural flowed. People were healed. People were set free. When he was crying there at Lazarus' tomb, and what happened? He rose Lazarus from the dead, right? Healing is in conjunction with compassion and mercy. And this is something where people don't receive their healing or receive that often is because one of a couple things. Number one, they're trying to get something from God. They're trying to get a result. They're trying to get healed. They're trying to get healed. But the thing is, he's trying to get mercy on us. He's trying to extend mercy and compassion on us. You know, I remember just being in healing lines with when I was at Rhema, or when I prayed for people, or, you know, when Gary and I, we ushered there, and you see people, they're just like this, like they're trying to get something to happen. Well, it's not, you're not going to get anything to happen, are you? Isaiah 40:31. Again, healing is going to be a result of, now we know it's the stripes of Jesus, correct? We see 1 Peter 2:24, we know that. We know what the word says, but it is a result of his mercy and his compassion on us, right? And a grace that's bestowed upon us. Christ going to the cross was compassion. It was his mercy extended to us. Everything Christ did, everything the Lord does, is an extension of mercy for us because he loves us. And if we separate, again, if we separate the mercy and the compassion from God, then he is just, you know, another pagan deity where, you know, we're not sure what kind of mood he's in today. You know, that's where a lot of the Muslims come from, because they're like, you hear all the time, they're saying, you know, if Allah willing, you know, if Allah willing, if Allah willing. They don't know what kind of mood he's in. Guess what? The word tells me right now that he loves me and he loves you. The word tells me he wants us to be healed. Isaiah 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Well, you know, the sickness and disease, it makes you weak. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and what? Not faint." God wants us to be strong in our body, in our minds. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, right? That our spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. all three parts of us, God wants to be renewed, healed, strengthened. Matthew chapter 14. I know we're bouncing through some scriptures, but I think one good thing is to lay scripture on, to use the word, amen, because the word is the thing that's going to come. The devil, you know, when you get into the flesh and you're trying to do fleshly things, he just laughs at you. But when you use the word, Hebrews 4, 12, you know, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit asunder. The word is going to cut through. The word is a sword. We see there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, that is obviously the, you know, we put on the armor of God, but the sword is an offensive, right? The shield of faith protects us against the fiery darts of the enemy there in Ephesians chapter 6. But the sword of the Spirit is the attack weapon. It's the weapon that we use. It's with our words. Anything in the spirit realm that's going to happen is going to start with words. Matthew 14, 35 and 36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into that country round about and brought him all that were diseased. Everybody say all that were diseased. All that were diseased. Okay? Now, sin is increased. I mean, you know, they had sin back then, and obviously, but I mean, we've got more public now, but can you imagine the stuff they didn't have, probably the sanitation that we do now? And I mean, you can only imagine, you know, maybe what some of these people were going through. And then verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I want to stop here on verse 36. This is very interesting here. We're not going to be healed unless we approach the Lord. Right? Those who approached the Lord, you know, the people that didn't show up that day and they didn't care to listen to Jesus, they weren't bothered with Jesus, were they? And they didn't receive healing. They weren't blessed, right? How many people, especially right now in the corona, and you know, for example, I mean, how many people are just, you know, they're home and they're flipping through TV, and you know that there are people, they're depressed, they're upset, they're suicidal, there are all these other things going on, and they're flipping right through Kenneth Copeland, right by Kenneth Copeland, and they're flipping right by, you know, Joyce Meyer, and they're flipping right, you know, right by, you know, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and they're not taking the time to connect with Jesus or the message, so they're not going to receive the benefits. So again, verse 36, this is something, they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as were touched were made, okay, perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. Sure is quiet here. Amen. I mean, this is funny because I was, you know, when I'm in the scripture and I'm reading, man, my heart just something does something to you, you know, because you're feeding on that. Your spirit, man, is feeding on the word, amen? And I just remember we just got done reading Mary Baxter's heaven book, you know, A Divine Revelation of Heaven. And man, we had all kinds of conversation. And Daddy, what about this? Mom, what about this? Wow, this is awesome. La, la, la. And, you know, and she was talking about the Lord showed her, Mary Baxter, that when the word is spoken and that things are happening, there is actually that it is just what it does to the enemy. And just for us to have that revelation. Amen. Amen. And to know that there's no shadow, no doubt in my mind that God wants me healed and he wants you healed. Because he paid too big of a price. And with all this coronavirus junk going on and everything else going on, we need to put up a wall, amen, around our house, We need to stand in faith. But again, we got to approach Him. Luke 11. Luke 11. Now, this is interesting here. I think this is a, and we'll, I've got some other scriptures here, but we're not going to go super long tonight. But I do want to read a portion of scripture and some other ones here and talk about some things. So Luke 11, verse 1 through 13. And I'm going to read the message from this, the message paraphrase. And Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day when he's praying in a certain place, let's talk about Jesus here. And when he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So he said, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgive others and keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Okay, so we've all heard this. But here's something I think is it. I find, and again, maybe this is all, you know, old hat to you. But this is something I think is very interesting because there's a lot of confusion on this. But I like the way the message says this next scripture. It says here, don't bargain with God. How many bargained with God before? See, we think the scripture means we're just going to sit there and beg God all the time, you know, and go, God, please, 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 please. Jesus told the disciples, he says, don't go praying like the heathens do, you know, like the religious folks that, you know, they think that their much praying is going to, just because of the amount of words, the quantity of words they say, it's going to answer any prayer. But let's read this again. It says, don't bargain with God. Here we go. Be direct. God does not like for us to beat around the bush. God doesn't beat around the bush, does he? When his word, he doesn't mince words, does he? Then he says, ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider and set it beside her? Oh, that's not in there. Okay. As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? That is good. I thought it was. I thought that was a very interesting perspective to read that. Don't bargain with God, be direct, and ask for what you need. Especially, I mean, just churches I've been in the past, you're like, oh, a special unspoken request. I gotta, you know, what does that mean? Right? Been in churches before. Well, how many have a special unspoken? Well, my Bible says, make your request be known unto God. God wants you to be direct, right? If you ask for nothing, you'll get nothing. If you're not specific on anything, you will never get anything specific, right? Can you imagine if you showed up for a job or you know, what would it be like if you went to the store and you bought a car or you went to a dealership and you bought a car and you're talking to the dealer and you're like, well, how much is the car? And the salesman says, well, I don't know, just some unspoken amount. You're like, I am not going to get financing for an unspoken amount, right? It ain't happening. I need to know the specifics. God is the same way. I need to know, are you going to get down with me or not? Are you going to be serious about this? Don't bargain with God. I still love it. I can't get off of it. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. And we know those of, you know, kids, you know, we would get our kids whatever that, you know, we're not going to, you know, especially when it gets cold out. It's like, well, here's some shorts and a t-shirt, you know, go play in the snow. And we're going to take care of them. God says, no matter what you do and how much you do for your kids, that pales in comparison to what I'm willing to do, right? But then we have the church going around saying that God is putting sickness on people. That is ridiculous. No human, we would all be charged for child abuse, you know, if we injected someone with something, you know, that's harmful, right? Psalms 91, 10 through 16. Psalms 91, 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I love the 91st Psalm. Isn't this awesome? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So not only is God going to take care of us, but he's got angels on assignment to take care of us also. Woo! Glory. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. See, there's love again. There's that compassion, that mercy, that love comes up. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. And what? I may answer. When we call upon the Lord, guys, he will answer. Everybody say, he will answer.
He will answer.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God says, I got your back. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to honor you. How much better does it get than that? And then it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Adrian, would you read that? You got a different translation. 10 through 16.
That's Psalm 91.
Yeah, 10 through 16.
How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. You can safely meet a lion or step on a poisonous snake, yes, even trample them beneath your feet. For the Lord says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will make him great because he trusts in my name. When he calls on me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him.
Glory to God.
I will satisfy him with a full life and give him my salvation.
That is awesome. See, God, it's the healing, the provision. Everything is a result of his compassion and his mercy on us. It's his pouring out his compassion and mercy on us, right? When you remove compassion and mercy, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because number one, you don't believe God is. You're not sure if he wants to. He's mad at me. The devil likes to throw all these religious, you know, insecurities and doubts. And it's, no. God said that he would do it. That's the end of the story. James 5. Let's look at James 5, 14. And we're going to end here. Praise God. This has been the hour of power tonight. Amen. Hour of power. Praise God. James chapter 5, all the way at the back. Towards the back of the Bible. Towards the back. Just a few books from Revelation there. So James 5, 14 says, is any sick among you? You notice how, now today we would say all the sick come up. James says, I mean, is there anybody in their church that's sick? See, it was never a how can I say, an expected thing.
Right.
It was a question of, well, there might be somebody in your church that's sick. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here we go. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, or shall deliver the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Thank you, Lord. You're the one that raises them up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, it's interesting here that he brings up sins, right? Because again, like we talked about, sin is the gateway into death. The wages of sin is what? Death. So, first of all, we're obviously all going to, you know, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to at least give up the ghost sometime. And born again, then we're going to step over with Jesus, right? But between now and then, the Lord promised us long life. We just read that. He will satisfy us with long life. So, the sin speeds up the decay process, right? The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and also there in Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2, says that our bodies are to be, be sanctified, and it's our reasonable service. There in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We present our bodies holy and acceptable unto him, and that we're going to keep our thinking right, correct? So to speed up the death process, we get in sin. Ever seen those pictures on the internet where it says, you know, the girls and I like, we have, anyway, there's a, you know, it says this person's on drugs, like, you know, before, you know, this drug and after the drug, and you see brother, you know, normal, and all of a sudden they're decaying. That's sin, right? We have one, it's like before tacos and after tacos. You know, before tacos, it's, you know, after tacos, it's, you know, around our house, especially when mom makes tacos, it's like everybody's happy and Taco Tuesday. So we have Taco Tuesday at our house. But anyway, but the sin will decay, and that's where the Lord is coming in and saying, you know what, if you got sin that's causing spiritual decay, which will affect everything, right? Sin will affect your body. It will affect your thinking. It affects every part of your body. And once we get this, that's why Jesus, when he healed the lame man, he said, go and sin no more. Lest, what does he say? Lest the worst thing come upon you, right? So he gave him the healing, but he said, wait a minute, you got to stop this behavior, because if you don't stop this behavior, you're going to have something else come upon you. Kind of like the drug addict, you know, or anybody else. It's like, you know, I mean, you can get born again, and that's the most important thing, and get somebody saved. But we got to get you delivered from the sin, you know, this spiritual oppression that you're under, because you're going to continue to destroy yourself. But God can come in there and heal you of all of that. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Man, this is not a very popular message today, is it? Mm-mm. How'd you like that? I'll tell you what my sin was this week. Too much turkey, right? So I'm confessing my gluttony sin for all of you, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in the same boat, right? But confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that what? Ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And just to close, one of the keys here is to walk in righteousness so that our prayers, because really, we see here in the scripture that we don't have time to go there, but the seven sons of Sceva, right? They were trying to, they saw all the healings, and they're trying to go out and do that in the book of Acts. And then what happened? they weren't really righteous. They're trying to do, they're just trying to go do the same things that the apostles were doing and everything else too. And what happened? Demon possessed guy came along and says, and all the demons spoke out of him and says, "Oh, Paul, we know. Jesus, we obviously know, but who are you?" Right? And then whammo. So again, it's not a real popular message, but it can make life or death. Amen. Cool thing is, these disciples, you know, we see one thing there in the book of Acts where it says they were standing in front of the Pharisees, and they said, they understood that they were not learned men. So, you know, the disciples were not educated, but they said they could tell they'd been with Jesus, right? That's me. That's what I want to be. I want to be with Jesus. I want to just plagiarize his word, say what he says, have it come out of my mouth. Amen. And, you know, 1 John 1:9, I'll read it real quick here too. And just as we close here, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And so, God wants us healed. We don't have to put up with sickness and disease. Amen. I'm meditating more in healing scriptures and things like that, because, you know, in these end times, not only for myself to walk in health and us, but, you know, I want to be able to lay hands on people and see them recover too. You know, I want my jumper cables to be on people and for them to be, why? It's not because of anything. I want them to see the goodness of God and the mercy and the love of God. Brother Hagin always said that it's the healing is the dinner bell for the world. It brings the world in. Amen. And so we need to get really comfortable with healing, because God wants it, and we definitely want to see people being healed outside of these walls. Amen. And that it is God's will to heal. Amen. And so often I have, when I've laid hands on people out in the world, it seems like they're more receptive than, you know, some other Christian in some other church, you know, because then they're all, you know, well, if it's God's will, everything's God's will, you know. A tree fell on my roof. Well, it's God's will. My house burnt down. Well, it's God's will. I'm sick. Well, it's God's will. I lost my job. Well, it must be God's will. God doesn't like me very well. if that's all, if everything's God's will, you know, he must be after me. I don't need the devil or my flesh cause me any problems. God's caused me enough problems by, you know, a lot of these denominational churches. It's like, wait a minute here. God and the devil, you know, that's where the weird thing about Job, you know, they're always there at the beginning, the first chapter of Job, you know, they think that God and the devil are teaming up together and they're working things out and they're, you know, tag team, you know, they're like Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, they're like buddies. No, they're not at all. And, you know, John 10:10, we know what that says, but we know that God is working for us and he's not working against us. Amen. Father, we come before you tonight. I thank you for these precious people, and I thank you for your word that you promise healing, Lord God. It doesn't matter what the world says, what symptoms come our way. It doesn't matter. I know what this says, and it says that I am healed and I can walk in health in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what coronavirus or anything else that comes down the pipe through this world system, Lord, that I can get rid of it and I don't have to come on me ever again, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not going to walk in sickness and disease, but we are going to walk in health, Lord, moving forward. And we thank you that you are there for us, and you are a good God, and you want us to have good things, and we love you, and that we want, that you're wanting us to spread this blessing to the world, Lord God, to those heathens and people out in the world that need your love and that need this compassion and mercy poured on them. We thank you in your name. Amen. 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 Praise God.